Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
My name is Gary Parish, speaking from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adoles producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Our daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you took the time out of your Memorial Day weekend to go check out Top Gun Maverick, because if not, you probably feel like you missed out on something. It seems like the whole country went. I went. It's a fun experience. I'm not ready to go as far as some people have gone with their praise of Top Gun Maverick, but $13 ticket, 2 hours, it's a fun experience. Glad I did it. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, Stephen Johnson is going to join me. Covers University of Memphis men's basketball program for the Daily Memphian, so we got a lot to talk to them about. What's DeAndre Williams going to do? What's Lester Quinones going to do? Thank God! The athletic department announced today they're getting rid of that goofy blue court.
You've been championing this for a while.
Since the first time I saw it. Since the first minute I saw it.
Well, you got rid of the penises.
I did get rid of the penises.
Yeah.
But still, the blue was awful. I would argue the worst looking court on television that college basketball has had the past few years.
Damn.
I remember the night they unveiled it at Memphis Madness. People were like, ooh, isn't it cool? I'm like, no, what? You don't have to say something's awesome just because, like, you're here seeing it for the first time and it's the Memphis Tigers court. Like, we can all care deeply about the University of Memphis men's basketball program and acknowledge, oh my God, they have really messed this court up. But whatever. That's in the past. They fixing this thing. Talk to Stephen Johnson about it in the next segment. Finish that, take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point we'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the NBA Finals are set. Celtics-Warriors, seven-game series. Interesting matchup. I dig it. We'll talk about it. Around 4:44, Nick Saban spoke today at SEC meetings. I'll tell you what he said about his back and forth with Jimbo Fisher a little later on this hour. Three-time Defensive Player of the Year Aaron Donald, he's a football player, has reiterated that he really might retire if he can't get a new deal with the Rams. Do we believe him? Talk about that just before 5 o'clock. And Jack Nicklaus pledged his allegiance to the PGA Tour while speaking at the memorial earlier today, said the Saudis did approach him about leading their rival golf league. He added that he turned down more than $100 million to do it. Tell you more about that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cargill, just like always, that I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with a record-setting weekend at the box office because Top Gun Maverick, the sequel to the 1980s cult classic Top Gun, just set a box office record for Memorial Day weekend. According to TMZ and other outlets, it did $156 million domestically this weekend. That means in this country. Mm-hmm. And that's the new record, which breaks the previous record set by the third Pirates of the Caribbean film that was released back in 2007. Big Bet Bennett, are you surprised that the nation has caught Top Gun fever 36 years after the original was released?
Okay, I'm not. And the reason, first off, I have massive FOMO like about this because I didn't see it this weekend.
Big Ben and Bennett.
Here's the thing.
Big Ben Bennett.
Here's the thing. I'm not some guy. Like, the first Top Gun's, it's fine.
Fine.
It came out the year I was born. It's fine. Like, it's a movie I've seen a bunch of times. But the reason that I'm having FOMO is because, like you said, like, I've seen the word of mouth is what made this thing what it is.
That's right.
And so I can remember me and my wife went and saw the new Doctor Strange movie a few weeks ago. And instead of we saw it on the IMAX screen. And instead of a trailer, they showed like a 3-minute clip from the movie. And it looked awesome.
Right.
And so like the whole billing of the movie is like, this is a movie going experience.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, it's just this big word of mouth thing, well, I think.
Well, that's exactly what it was for me. Like I saw, you know, I was born in the late 70s. Top Gun came out in the mid 80s. I watched it like everybody else. If you'd have asked me, what's your 50 favorite movies of all time, it would not have been listed. If you'd have asked me, what are your favorite movies from the 80s, I would not have listed it. It was fine for what it was. And if you would have asked me a month ago, so Top Gun Maverick's coming out Memorial Day weekend, you think you'll go see it? I would have said without hesitation, no. Like, you know, I don't know that I'll ever see it. Maybe I'll catch it, you know, when it comes to Paramount Plus, since I myself am an employee of Paramount. But, no, I don't know why I would go see Top Gun Maverick. I don't really have any desire to do so. But as it got released, and the reviews are tremendous, I mean, it is right now at Rotten Tomatoes getting 96% approval from critics. 96% approval from critics and 99% approval from audiences. Once I started seeing that, and then everybody on Twitter was like, just saw Top Gun Maverick. It was amazing. Just saw Top Gun Maverick. How awesome. Just saw Top Gun Maverick. It's the best. I guess at some point on Sunday, I gathered my family, and I said, hey, would you like the guys like to go see the new Top Gun movie tomorrow? I know it's Memorial Day and like it's a good outside day, but you know, it's also hot. It's also hot.
Mm-hmm.
And movie theaters have air conditioning.
Yeah.
And maybe we could go see Top Gun Maverick on Memorial Day. Not for any sort of connection to like it's Memorial Day. We need to go see a movie about the American military. Just like, hey, is this big blockbuster movie. People seem to like it. It does feel like the type of thing you want to see in a movie theater. Tomorrow looks like a good day to do it. And everybody agreed. Sure, that sounds like a plan. Because obviously my wife had seen Top Gun, and my oldest son had seen Top Gun, and my middle guy had watched it recently with his grandmother. And so the only one who hadn't seen it to have a point of reference was my little dude, Lou.
Mm-hmm.
He's 5, but I figured he would either like it or not like it.
Yeah.
Without the point of reference. And really, what would the point of reference help him with, you know?
Right.
So we gathered up. We bought our tickets online, and we got our reserved seats, and it was fun. It was a fun, the movie's not too long. It's like 2 hours, 10 minutes.
That's a good sweet spot.
Yeah. So it's not crazy. In fact, it might be a little shorter than that. It's 2 hours, 11 minutes. So it's manageable.
Mm-hmm.
And it is exactly what a summer blockbuster movie should be. Like, I'm not trying to argue with anybody's opinion of what it is. Like, I've seen, it's a great film. I saw somebody who I follow on Twitter within the past 20 minutes say, just saw Top Gun Maverick. That is the best movie I've ever seen. I'm not here to argue with anybody's assessment. My 5-year-old, like I tweeted last night, I asked him after the movie, I said, hey, Lou, did you like the movie? He said, let me tell you in your ear. That's the way he wants to tell
mm-hmm.
you a secret.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, I want to tell you a secret. He says, let me tell you in your ear. That's his way of saying, I want to tell you a secret. And so I said, sure, tell me in my ear. And I leaned my ear down and he said, that's the best movie I've ever seen besides Minions.
Wow. Better than Minions.
No, not as good as Minions.
Oh, not as good as Minions. Okay.
Better than everything else.
But Minions. That's okay.
Better than everything he's ever seen, except for Minions. And I said, I didn't argue. Just like I won't argue with anybody's assessment, I won't argue with Lou's. Best movie he's ever seen besides Minions. I guess my assessment would be fun movie. Not great movie. not the best movie, but certainly fun. Like, if you're going to try to, you know, sit in a movie theater for 2 hours, get a bucket of popcorn, get you a soda of some sort or water, whatever you prefer, and say, hey, I want to immerse myself in this experience and have a good time and be entertained, it is perfect for that. It is better than the original.
That's what I've seen everybody say.
Well, like, I tweeted that last night.
Because the original is extremely 80s. Like, it's not, I mean, I guess it still holds up to the...
Well, how about this? But I watched it again over the weekend just because I was like, I haven't seen this. I thought about this. I haven't seen Top Gun in 30 years, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, you know, and that's less than an hour. And so I was like, I got to, you know, I got 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. I wake up in the middle of the night. I'll watch the original Top Gun because it's on Paramount Plus. It's on Netflix before I go see the new one. And I watched it and I was like, it was okay.
Yeah.
Very dated.
Yes.
Very 80s. Like, even the sound, even the music is is like, it's all these big 80s songs that you remember, and they're just like all of them in there.
Yeah, you got the synthesizers, yep.
Yeah. And so I was like, it was fine, but it was, I certainly didn't watch the original Top Gun over the weekend and go, that was amazing. Man, I should have watched that a decade ago. I can't believe I let 30 years pass before I watched it. It was just like, it was fine for what it is, a very 80s action-packed movie with a big movie star in Tom Cruise. But I only say that because I am somebody who've watched these movies back-to-back. Like, I watched both movies back-to-back over the weekend. And the new one is far superior in terms of movie making and the action scenes and everything else. And the action scenes really are, like, intense and incredible. Like, incredible viewing experience.
So that's like I said, when I saw it wasn't a trailer. They just showed like a 3-minute clip from the movie, and it was like one of the scenes where they're, you know, doing their stuff in the fighter jets. And like, the cool thing about it, at least from what I saw, is, and that I've heard about the movie, is that none of these stunts are like none of it's CGI. It's all like real stunts with these fighter jets, and it looks awesome.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not somebody, in fact, when I was watching the original Top Gun over the weekend, I just sort of wanted to have a reminder of the story. Like, I was like, I don't really need to pay that close of it, because I'm always doing when I'm at home. And that's why that's why there's something to be said for going to the theater. You're just more focused on a movie.
I love going to the movies.
When I'm at home, I find it hard to just focus on what I'm watching. I feel like I'm always, you know, looking at three things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Where at the movies, yeah, I'll glance at my phone every once in a while to see, you know, if anybody's texted or called or if I've missed anything. But I'm largely just focused on the movies. And so that's one of the real advantages of just focusing, of just being in a movie theater, is because you focus on what you're watching. You can sort of, get immersed in it. And and that's among the reasons this is very good. Like, if you're going to see it at all, this is the type of movie you need to see in a movie theater with the big screen and the loudspeakers. Mm. It makes it a better, an incredible viewing experience because, it looks great. It sounds great. The storyline is, you know, legitimate. The build to the climax of the movie is pretty intense. Like, it's got you, I don't want to overstate it, on the edge of your seat. Like, I was in one of those recliners. I was kicked up with my feet back, right? I wasn't on the edge of my seat. But it was intense. It's exactly what a summer blockbuster ought to be. And it's why, I gather, you know, this film's been made for 3 years.
Yeah, so this is the I heard Jeff and Jeffrey talking about it this morning. I think this is the third biggest opening since COVID in theaters, since the pandemic started.
Yeah, in the middle of the pandemic, or beginning of the pandemic, they had these movies made, and a lot of them were just like, let's just put
it
out.
We gotta wait, yeah.
Or no, they were like, a lot of them were just like, let's just put it on Amazon Prime, let's just put it on HBO Max, let's just put it on Paramount Plus. Let's just get it to the viewers because it's done. And this is one where I gather they said, no, this is going to be in theaters and we'll just hold it until we can put it in theaters. And I'm glad they did because it made for a better experience. Like, I don't know that I would have just streamed this if it was on Paramount Plus. But, you know, it had been a while since I'd had a real, like, summer blockbuster movie experience. Honestly, I believe this is true. It sort of occurred to me as we were sitting there yesterday. I don't think I've been to the movies since the pandemic.
Oh, really?
Not one time.
Oh, I
think the last time I've been to a movie before yesterday was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
That was 2019.
That was before the pandemic.
It was May 2019. So it's been 3 years since I had been to a movie. And we all decided to go yesterday. And it was a good experience. So, listen, I'm not somebody, and this is probably why it's doing so well. I'm not somebody who needed to see this because I just love the original Top Gun. I could have, if they'd have never made another one, it wouldn't have mattered to me. If I'd have never seen this, it wouldn't have mattered to me. I had no plans of going to see it. But once, like you said, word of mouth and, you know, word of social media and the critics love it and the audiences love it and it seems to be a real experience, I said, let's go do it. Well, and it was fun.
And I think that's where the curiosity comes from. When you were out on Friday, me and Connor, in honor of Top Gun Maverick, did a ranking of Tom Cruise movies. And I think he had Top Gun on his list. But
what's number one?
My number one was War of the Worlds.
I don't think I ever saw that.
The Steven Spielberg, just because I love sci-fi monster movies. It's about an alien invasion.
Oh no, I think I did. I think George Orwell. I think I did see that.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's getting these great reviews, and it's a Tom Cruise movie, and like he's had misses, you know, in the later parts of his career. Like he's had a couple misses. I mean, he did that terrible Mummy movie. He's done some bad stuff, and so to see one of his movies have these incredible reviews and everybody says it's great, I think that kind of gets your antennas up a little bit too.
Well, I'm just running through them now. I hadn't thought about this, but like Rain Man's obviously a great one.
Oh yeah, Rain Man's good.
What did Rain Man make you guys list?
It didn't make my list.
What?
Do you want to hear my list? What my list?
Yeah,
was?
And I'll tell you if you're right.
Yeah, you're not gonna. It was controversial. My list was, I think five was The Outsiders, four was Minority Report, three.
I like that.
Three was The Firm, and not because I think The Firm is one of his best movies. It's just because of the Memphis connection, and it's filmed in Memphis. Two was Magnolia, and one was War of the Worlds.
Okay, that's terrible.
Do you think that's terrible?
It feels terrible.
Why?
Well, you're leaving off Rain Man, for one.
Okay, Rain Man's fine, dude.
Rain Man's a great film.
Yeah, it's good. It's not amazing.
Rain Man's really good.
It's fine. Rain Man's fine.
You're leaving off... This is kind of a goofy one. Like, it's not a great film, but I remember it was a fun watch. Days of Thunder?
Yeah, but see, I guess.
You left off Jerry Maguire?
I did, and that was one that a lot of people argued about. And the thing is I would have replaced The Firm with Jerry Maguire, but I wanted to get The Firm on there because it was filmed here.
There are two that I like that I really like that I don't think. Well, one that I really like that I don't think everybody loves, and I think it's just sort of some people got it and some people didn't. Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh yeah,
I love it. It's good. I love Eyes Wide Shut.
It's good. Yeah, Kubrick. Yep.
And another one, Vanilla Sky.
That's a good one, too. But see, these are all old. Like, he the later part of his career, he has not done a lot of great stuff. I mean, he's known for these Mission Impossible movies, right? Like, people love those. But, I mean, he's done some trash, you know?
Yeah, I haven't. I don't know. I'm looking at his most recent movies, and I'm trying to see what is the most recent Tom Cruise movie that I actually watched. Tropic Thunder?
Yeah, and that's more of a cameo, right?
Yeah, and that's 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hadn't had one of these in a long time.
No.
So good for him.
Good for Tom Cruise.
Good for Tom Cruise. I mean, you know, he was overdue for a hit.
I mean, I think he would have been all right either way, but yeah, good. I'm happy for him.
And he's holding it together really good.
Dude, how old is he?
59.
That's insane.
Insane.
Yeah, he's like drinking some kind of magic potion or something.
He looks
like a 40-year-old.
Yeah, like I would pay $100,000 right now to look like Tom Cruise. You know, just
yes,
he looks good.
How does he look like that?
I think he probably just takes care of himself. You know, I think most people
he's doing some weird stuff.
I think most people who look amazing, you can go, how do they do? And it's either like they a lot of surgery or they just take care of themselves or both. Often both.
He sold his soul to the devil.
Maybe he sold his soul to the devil. I would sell, just if the devil's listening right now, I would sell my soul to the devil.
Uh-huh.
to look like Tom Cruise.
That's unreal.
Like, I don't need. What do I need my soul for?
Nah, you'll be fine.
You know, I'd rather look like Tom Cruise than have my soul. I'm not even sure my soul's that good anyway.
Yeah.
I'd rather look like Tom Cruise than have a soul, any soul.
Good for Tom Cruise.
If you know how to get in touch with the devil, let him know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for sale.
Okay.
My soul is for sale if I can look like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Somebody text the devil for me.
I got you.
You think the devil's got text message, right?
No.
It's 2022.
Doubt it.
Who doesn't have text message? I bet the devil's got text.
Yeah.
I bet the devil text.
Maybe so.
Steven Johnson's up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Run. Here come the menaces to sobriety like what? Super thug is thumping on a cut.
Weighs a ton, hit the drum till you hear it go.
NBA Finals are set. Celtics Warriors game one Thursday night. We'll talk NBA in the next segment. Jeff Cock will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers Memphis basketball for the Daily Memphis. And Steven Johnson make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Stephen, before we get to the actual roster, who's coming back, who's not, let's talk about the big news of the day, and that's that the athletic department has announced they are planning to have a new court in advance of this upcoming season inside FedEx Forum. So rest in peace, ugly, blue, weird Memphis Tigers basketball court. That's a good development, right?
Man, I like the blue court, man. I thought it gave us kind of gave the city a Boise State type of feel to it. I feel like this might be a bit of a generational thing. I think a lot of my younger friends like this, too.
So I'm too old to appreciate the blue court?
Maybe so, man. It's creative. They had the Tiger Stripes and the free throw lane. It was one of the most unique courts to me.
It was unique. I'll give you that. It was definitely unique. It looked always like a, to me, and this will feed right into your generation thing, like if you were playing Super Mario Brothers, when at least when I was a kid, and you had to go underwater, you had to do the underwater. It looked like that's what the Memphis Blue Court looked like to me. It looked like it was an underwater warp zone for Mario and Luigi.
I can see that, but I'm going to miss it. I'll be interested to see, are they going to keep going bold again, or are they going to go back to something a little bit more traditional?
I think this is one where once you tried to go bold and it was, I think for the most part, not liked, you can't go bold again. You just got to get this one right. Mm-hmm. Go clean, make it simple. You know what I actually like? If you go look at Kansas's court, Louisville's court, gigantic logos at center court. Keep the court clean, because in fairness, I was always against the blue court. The previous court that had the skyline, I was for that when I saw the
design.
Well, I was for the design. I saw the design and I liked it. When I saw it actually on the court, I didn't like it anymore. But that's on me, because I would have pre-approved that one as well. But the ones I like are clean, and then a gigantic logo mid-court. Kansas has it. Louisville has it. I'd like to see Memphis go that way. But just as long as it's something other than blue, I'm going to assume it'll be an improvement. I'm talking to Stephen Johnson from the Daily Memphis. He's on Twitter at StephenMJohnson_. So it seems like the big question of the day, as the deadline for underclassmen to withdraw from the NBA draft approaches, is whether Lester Quinones will be back or not. For really weeks now, months now, everybody, or at least most people, have assumed he'll be back because, like, he's probably not going to get picked. So why would he not come back? And I still think it's unlikely he'll get picked, but not impossible to get picked. What's the latest, as you know it, on Lester Quinones' situation?
Well, if you would have had me on last week, I would have kind of felt like you that – well, felt like most people, I'd say that. He was maybe not 100%, but he was surely going to come back to school, probably wasn't going to get his name called in the draft. But there's been some smoke over these last – maybe this last week and a half that he's really turned some heads at his pro day. He had one in L.A. this past Friday where I think he hit something like 33s in a row in front of, a dozen NBA teams or so. He just finished working out for the Lakers. I believe he has a workout with the Warriors tomorrow. So I think – Lester's kind of been one of those guys that has maximized some of these workouts, some of this training. So I think there's some smoke. I think I'm not ready to go as low as 50-50. I still think just that the odds are that he'll return to Memphis, but I think it's going to be a lot more closer than we probably originally anticipated when he released that statement about a month or so ago and said he would come back to Memphis if everything worked out that way.
DeAndre Williams is arguably a more important college basketball player, but I think clearly not as good of an NBA prospect because of his age, because of his back, because of the way he plays. We're all assuming he will announce at some point before midnight tomorrow that he's returning to Memphis. Is that what you assume as well?
Yeah, I think the decision could come as early as today, tonight, so I've been told. But I know him and his camp were kind of vocal about wanting some type of enticing NIL package to kind of return to Memphis. I don't think he had a lot of traction in terms of working out. He obviously didn't go to the combine. Haven't heard a ton of him working out with NBA teams. So I think he's going to come back to school. I think it'll be at Memphis. And I think they were very vocal about the NIL prospects. And I think that you don't be surprised to see him get probably more opportunities than he did last season.
I'm talking to Stephen Johnson from the Daily Memphian. Over the weekend, the Tigers secured a commitment from a transfer from UT Arlington. His name is, I'll do my best, K.O. Derichi Akabundu Ayoko, something close to that. Apparently a legitimate rim protector, limited in other ways. Is this the guy who now projects as the starting center for Memphis?
I gotta think so. Look, there's a lot to like about him. The 48-inch vertical. He was an NBA prospect, at least, you know, working out. At least NBA teams were aware of him. And I think I was want to say I was reading something that he didn't start playing basketball until he was like a teenager. So obviously his best basketball is ahead of him. He was what, top 20, top 30 in block shots last year. So I think he definitely can fill that role as a guy that's just gonna come in, rebound, maybe get a couple of dunks and block some shots. But at the end of the day, this was a guy that also averaged, 4-4 in the Sun Belt. So I just hope that people kind of temper their expectations. And maybe this is a guy Penny can, build up and kind of help him reach his potential. But I think, as you said, he'll have some limitations, but he definitely fills the role as that shot blocker that they wanted.
Do we know what Malcolm Dandridge and Alex Lomax are going to do yet?
I believe Malcolm is going to come back, but Penny kind of, I think I raised my eyebrow at his comment last week when he was speaking. He said A-Lo's future is still kind of up in the air just because we're almost in June. I know kids are still hitting the portal and they're probably still getting waivers. So I'm guessing he could easily do that if he wanted to. But I'm a little bit surprised that A-Lo isn't locked in with the program, or at the very least hasn't already hit the portal to explore his options either. So I think, I guess there's a question with A-Lo, but I think Malcolm will be back for sure. I would still be surprised if A-Lo ends up anywhere else, but at the very least there's something that needs to be worked out behind closed doors between him and Penny.
Obviously, we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about Alex Lomax over the years. My objection has always been as him being your primary point guard, playing 26, 28, you know, 31 minutes per game sometimes. But if you're actually going to commit to Kendrick Davis as your point guard and Alex Lomax is going to be a 10-minute per game backup point guard, like, there's a role for him in that program for one more season if you're committed to doing it that way. Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, absolutely. You know, and there will obviously be certain matchups where A-Lo might play a little bit more. We know what he can do with the press. So maybe if you're facing a team that has a smaller backcourt, maybe you can put him out there a little bit more. But with his experience, I do think he kind of turned the corner a little bit at the end of last regular season with what he was doing just as a playmaker and not trying to force the issue so much with his shot selection and things like that. So if you can get that A-Lo from like the last 15 or so games and he's comfortable with the role, been playing 10 to 15 minutes, I think, you know, I think you could do a lot worse than having A-Lo as your backup point guard, especially when you have a guy like Kendrick Davis. So I agree with you 100%.
So there's either way, regardless of what Malcolm does, Alex does, they're not going to be at their full scholarship limit based on what we know right now. Do you suspect they get there through the transfer portal, you know, one way or another this offseason?
I'm not sure they'll get all the way to the number. They are involved with another transfer, Kerwin Walton from North Carolina, who, especially if Lester decides to stay in the draft, he's another guy that I think they'll probably turn the heat up on. But at this point, I don't think Penny just wants to be taking guys just to take guys. He's been real methodical about who he's gone after. So I think maybe they add maybe another wing. If they can get Lester back, I think they'll probably try to add at least one more backcourt player. And I wouldn't be surprised if Penny kind of just stands pat with that going forward.
You know what? And I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this, but I don't think that would be the worst idea, like to not have 13 scholarship players. Because one of the things we've seen over the years is that when Penny has a lot of options, he likes to use all of those options. And I'm not sure that's always best for the quality of the basketball team. If they were to sit here with 10 or 11 scholarship players and it means they're only playing, you know, 7, 8, 9 players real minutes per game, I think that, you know, not actually getting to 13 could maybe be a real positive for the program.
I think so as well, too, because there's not going to be this pressure. Our Penny is kind of taking the pressure off himself and not having to feel like, just using the example, I got to get Josh Minot some minutes, or how am I going to kind of manage these veterans and these young guys? So I think now, I don't think the Tigers will be anywhere near as talented as last year or as deep, but what you could see is more cohesion, a tighter rotation, and we could see a team, you know, they kind of started off slow under Penny almost every single year. This could finally be the year they start off fast, even if they're not quite as talented. And now you go into those later months of the season, not necessarily needing to have these epic runs in February or March to make the tournament. So I think they won't be as talented, but as of right now, it seems like Penny is doing a solid job of just finding guys to fit roles. Ideally, if Lester and DeAndre come back, to top three are Kendrick, Lester, and DeAndre on offense, and everybody else is just there to kind of amplify them and just kind of fill their role. So I think it actually could work out for Memphis. They won't have the preseason hype, but they could be a better team a little bit earlier in the season than we used to under Penny Hardaway so far.
I think that's right. I'm wrapping up here with Steven Johnson from the Daily Memphian. Last thing before I let you go. Penny Hardaway is going to be the head coach as we enter the 2022-23 season. Who are going to be his assistants?
That is a good question. I'm still thinking that Jermaine Johnson, who was in some type of hybrid coaching slash player development role, I think he's going to get one of those spots still. He did say Larry Brown will be back as, you know, Penny loves those consultant roles. I think I think it'll be some combination of Larry, Coach Johnson, and maybe somebody else. I wouldn't be surprised if kind of Penny does what he does and kind of swings for the fences and goes for outside the box type of hire. But I think it'll be JJ, Larry in some capacity, and then he'll kind of fill their role with hopefully kind of an experienced college guy as opposed to, you know, taking your chance and bringing an NBA guy on that probably finds out once he gets here, the grind's a little bit more than he thought. So that would be my prediction as of right now.
That's Stephen Johnson from The Daily Memphian. Make sure you're reading him, dailymemphian.com. He's on Twitter, at StephenMJohnson_. Thanks for being here, buddy. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate the invite, always.
All right, you're real nice. That's Stephen Johnson from The Daily Memphian. When we come back, NBA Finals are set. Celtics, Warriors, Game 1, Thursday night, and the Celtics advanced after Jimmy Butler missed a controversial three-pointer in the final seconds over the weekend. We'll get into that next. You listen, Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't want to make me stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your best man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my... Send me in person, I look like a ghost. Send me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Goat body. All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you. Price went up.
Yeah.
Angel investor.
Yeah.
Price went up. Angel
okay,
investor.
Okay.
I'm not okay.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. It's a second generation local agency. Been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee or Mississippi, Elizabeth can help you. Proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you want to support a insurance agency that supports the University of Memphis Athletic Department, then Elizabeth Rook Insurance is the agency for you. Let's talk about life insurance for a moment. You wouldn't want something to happen to you unexpectedly, and then your family, already an emotional mess, is left in a financial bind because you've been the primary provider, and now you're there, and you're not there, and you didn't plan to not be there, and now everything is up in the air. You got to sell a house. You got to sell cars. Can you still go to the same school you were going to? Unfortunately, that happens to families every day in this country. But it doesn't have to happen. It is avoidable and it's affordable. Elizabeth Rook Insurance can help you with that. You need a good life insurance policy, they can get you one. Two locations, Memphis area, one in Lakeland, one in Covington. You can reach them. 867-SAVE, 901-867-7283. It's Elizabeth Rook Insurance on the web, rookinsurance.com. Jeff Cock is going to join me at a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
NBA Finals is set. Game one Thursday night's the Boston Celtics against the Golden State Warriors, and it comes because Boston won Game 7 on Sunday night, 196, after Jimmy Butler missed a pull-up three-pointer in the final 20 seconds that would have put the Heat ahead 99-98 if he'd have made it. Big Bet Bennett, that's been what everybody's been debating since Sunday night. It's a good shot or a bad shot? Where are you on this?
I mean, it was online. Like, I mean, it wasn't a bad shot. He just missed it.
I don't mean like was it like almost in? Because like he could have thrown it from midcourt and it could have almost been in, but we would have said that's a bad shot.
Yeah, should he gone to the rim, should he taken that shot? I didn't mind it for the simple fact that they had gone on like what, like an 11-0 run. Like it's just they had so much momentum. It just felt like one of those kind of heat check, big moment shots. Like I didn't have a problem with it. It felt right in the moment. He just missed it.
I hated it.
Did you?
But I understand it.
Yeah.
But I hated it. And I still don't think it was a good shot. Now I've heard, this is one where I think you can be totally reasonable and disagree on this.
Sure.
I've heard people I respect disagree on this. The argument for him taking that shot is he played every minute in that game.
It's true.
He's exhausted. And the idea behind taking that shot there is you make it, you try to end them in regulation because you don't feel real good about yourself going to overtime because you don't have anything left. And I guess that's one argument. My counter would be you got a better shot of winning in overtime while exhausted than you do of making that shot. Because he's not a good three-point shooter. He's 23% from the three-point line. And you've got Al Horford. Jimmy Butler said he's in drop coverage. Like this was some sort of pick-and-roll situation. Like, he was just retreating because there's nothing else for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just drive it right into his body. Now, there's no guarantee you're going to get a foul call. No guarantee you're going to make the shot. I acknowledge all of that as well. But I feel way better with Jimmy Butler attacking Al Horford as opposed to Jimmy Butler pulling with 16.6 seconds to go. Because here's the other thing that I think gets lost in this debate. Because you hear people say, well, he was trying to end it. He was trying to end it right there. He wouldn't have ended it right there, even if he made it. You're still up 99-98, and they get the ball back, shot clock off.
Right.
You're not ending anything, even if you make it. So I would rather take a higher percentage shot. Oh, keep in mind, could get an and one. Again, you drive it right into Al Horford, you finish, foul.
Yeah, he's backpedaling. Yep.
I just didn't like it. And first off, it's easy for me to make this decision for Jimmy Butler when I'm sitting there watching and I've got the benefit of hindsight. And, you know, when you're in that moment, you don't have a lot of time to think. You just have to play. And you are supposed to know time and score and circumstances and make good decisions there. And I still will land on he did not make a good decision there. But, you know, I'm not going to bang on Jimmy Butler for taking that shot. I'd rather have a guy who wants to take that shot than a guy who's scared of that moment. And the truth is, you're probably only in that position because Jimmy Butler put you in that position. Now, that doesn't give you an excuse to take bad shots. Like, you wouldn't be here if not for me, so watch this. Like, that's not going to go over well with most basketball teams. But, you know, it is what it is. Even in the moment, even if it went in, I'd say the same thing. I'd be like, oh, wow, that's some big ball shot. But it's still not the shot I would have wanted him to take. In that circumstance, I don't think it was the right play. But, you know, I get it. And either way, Boston, we're going to get Boston Golden State.
I like it. I think it's a great finals.
I mean, it's a big storied franchise against the most recent dynasty we have.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you got the Jason Tatum angle where it's like this dude is trying to prove that he's the next star of the NBA and he's got a chance to do it.
Sure. And you got on one side, you got Steph Curry, Draymond, Clay, Steve Kerr going for their fourth championship. Like we talked about last week, the list of guys with four championships, it's longer, I believe, than you thought it would be, but it's still like a not big number. You match the same number as LeBron James if you get to four. And it gives Steph an opportunity to win a finals MVP. I don't think he needs to win one to prove anything to anybody, but right now he is the favorite to win one, and that is something on his Wikipedia page that's not there right now. He could put it there. So, I'm into this. Golden State is opened as a 150 minus 150 favorite to win the series.
I like that. That means Vegas thinks it's going to be tight. I just want a good finals, man.
Like, I wonder what it would be if Boston had home court advantage. Would Boston be a slight favorite? Maybe. It'd be close.
It'd be close.
I think Golden State wins this. I think Golden State in seven.
I'd love that. I mean, not. I don't care who wins it, but I'd like to see it go seven games.
Yeah, let's go seven games.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Boston, Golden State. On one side, I'd like to see Golden State win it because I'd like to see them get a fourth title.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see them win one after a lot of people thought they'd never get back to this spot again. You know, after Clay had two surgeries and, you know, the James Wiseman pick hasn't amounted to anything yet. I'd like to see them win it under those circumstances. On the other side, you do have Brad Stevens, who I like a lot. You know, I've known Brad for a long time. You know, it's interesting. Like, he removed himself as coach of the Boston Celtics and said, I feel like these guys, we don't need to blow up the team, but I do think they need a different voice. They need a new coach. And he went out and hired the right guy. Like, you could make the argument, and Zach Kleiman won the award, and he deserved it. But, like, if we were voting at this moment, maybe Brad Stevens is your executive of the year. Because he made more decisions within the past year that have impacted this. You know, Zach's award, I think, is a culmination of all these things that he's done to put the Grizzlies in this position. Where Brad, everything was within the past year. I'd like to see Brad, you know, win a championship on one hand. Damon Stoudemire, who obviously worked here. He's on the Celtics staff.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing Damon, you know, get a ring. So, I could take it either direction, but I think ultimately I'd like to see the Warriors win more, and I think the Warriors probably do win this, but it'll be a fun series.
Story number two.
Alabama football coach Nick Saban said earlier today that he never should have singled out Texas A&M when he accused the Aggies of using name, image, and likeness deals to buy its top-ranked recruiting class during public comments he made 2 weeks ago. But Saban was quick to add that, I didn't really say that anybody did anything wrong. I don't know if you saw the video of this today, but it was very clear, like, some Texas A&M-based reporters were
and
they were just going to ask. Like, one of the questions was, so are you saying Jimbo Fisher lied? I mean, that tone. And Nick very clearly regrets saying what he said and starting this whole thing, especially when Jimbo clapped back pretty intensely. And now he's at a point where he just wants all of this to go away. But I wish Nick Saban, rather than trying to defuse the situation and put it in the past and move on, I wish he would have just stood up there today and actually got more specific and told the truth. I'd like to think that's what I would have done if I were him after Jimbo Fisher came at me the way Jimbo Fisher came at him.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, I always say this, it's much easier to say what you would do if you were somebody when you're not actually that somebody. It's also possible, if not likely, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, sit down with Jimbo and Nick, perhaps separately, maybe together, maybe the entire a group of football coaches and just said, hey, we got to cut this out. You guys are frustrated. I get it. But we're not going to be killing each other publicly. That's not good for anybody. So all of that said, perhaps that's why Nick Saban took the approach he took today. But if you could take that and set it aside, I would have liked to hear Nick Saban say this or something along these lines. I wish I wouldn't have said what I said when I said it, how I said it. Didn't come across the right way. I didn't make the points that I was trying to make intelligently, thoughtfully. And Jimbo came back the next morning and he told all you guys that he has not broken any rule and he has not broken any law, that his staff has not broken any rule and his staff has not broken any law. And I believe that to be true. That's why I never said he broke a law or broke a rule. But here's what I do believe. Name, image, and likeness is now here, and it's available. And Texas A&M has a collective where a lot of boosters have thrown tens of millions of dollars into a pot. And that money is being dangled in front of recruits. And I genuinely believe, yes, put me on the record, I genuinely believe that the only reason Texas A&M secured the number one recruiting class in America, is because that money, through the collective, was being dangled in front of recruits. That's the truth. I don't know whether Jimbo will admit that to you. I don't know whether Jimbo can admit that to himself. But that is the truth, and everybody knows it. Texas A&M didn't just all of a sudden become the biggest, baddest recruiting football program in America. They have a collective. It's very organized. They have a lot of money, and they have dangled it in front of recruits, and recruits are being swayed by that money. That's just the truth. If you ask Jimbo, see if he'll deny that. I'm not talking about rules. I'm not talking about laws. I'm talking about money from a collective being dangled in front of recruits and recruits being swayed by that money that's in front of them. That's the truth. That's what I was trying to say 2 weeks ago. I should have been more specific, or I should have said nothing at all. Probably should have said nothing at all. But now that we're in it, now that we're in it, and you guys are asking me questions, that's the truth. That's what happened. Did they buy the whole recruiting class? I should have said that differently. Do they have a collective that legally and within the rules, as the rules are currently written, dangle money in front of recruits to secure the top-ranked recruiting class in America? Yes, they did. And you know what? Congratulations to them. Maybe that's something we need to start doing too. We didn't do it, and we got beat. So maybe it's something we need to start doing. Jimbo's right. They didn't break rules. They didn't break laws. But they did do that. They did do that. And I'm not saying he did anything wrong. I'm just saying that is what they did. And perhaps we need to do the same thing. I wish he would have gone that direction a little bit. I know that's fantasy land. You're never going to get that out of Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. But that is the truth. That is what he meant. That's what he meant. They've got this collective. They got tens of millions of dollars in it. And they are putting it in front of recruits. And that's how they're getting these recruits. That is what he was trying to say. He didn't say it exactly. He got specific, but he didn't get that specific. But that's what he was trying to say. And to see him backpedal today and just like, I've said everything I want to say about it. And I don't know. I get it. I understand it. I would have just liked to have seen him go back on the attack. I understand that Greg Sankey has probably begged him not to do that. But I'd have had a hard time, I think. After Jimbo went at Nick the way he went at Nick, if somebody would have come at me like that, all the other stuff excluded. Like, I'm not taking orders from above. It's just me and this other person talking publicly about each other. I would have been tempted to say, forget what I said 2 weeks ago. Now since we're here, you guys are asking me about it. Now let me talk to you in a little more specifically. Let me tell you what I really think went on. No rules broken, no laws broken. That's fine. But they do have a collective that has tens of millions of dollars, and they are dangling it in front of recruits. And that is how they recruit. That is how they secured that recruiting class. And if you think that's not true, you're real naive. You're not paying attention to what's happening in college athletics right now. We wait to hear what Jimbo Fisher has to say.
Story number three.
Aaron Donald went on a podcast and said he really might retire if he can't get a new contract with the Rams. Do you believe him?
No.
I don't think he's retiring either.
No. I mean, that dude is awesome. At like the peak of his powers.
He did.
This is not the first time he's kind of hinted at retirement, but I'd be shocked.
So he signed through 2024, but he has no guaranteed money.
Right.
And he's like, well, that's not okay, is it?
No, not for one of the best players in the league.
Like maybe the best player.
Yeah, maybe the best.
So I get it, and I understand threatening retirement. I did think it was interesting. He said, listen, I'm not just like throwing this out there. You can go ask my friends, my teammates. I have for a long time said I'm going to play 8 years. I'll make enough money in those 8 years, and then I don't need to do this anymore. Like, I love football, but I don't need it like this. And I've always said I'll play 8 years and get out. Which is smart, by the way, if you're a football player. Make all your money and get out of it. Unless you just need to do it. Like, Tom Brady clearly needs to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, get out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.